This is Emory University's Sound Science, conversations on transforming health and healing. Coming up on Emory University's Sound Science, Jay Steinberg, Chief Medical Officer at Emory University Hospital Midtown, discusses novel H1N1 and its effect on the upcoming flu season. Late last spring, the World Health Organization declared the virus a pandemic.
I think pandemic has this horrible connotation of people dropping in the streets because we think of the 1918 pandemic that killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide. But there are other pandemics where the bumps in mortality rates have been modest.
In fact, three key factors go into the making of a pandemic, says Steinberg.
The reason why viruses can cause a pandemic are that they can cause disease, that it's a new virus to which people don't have any immune response, and that it has the capacity to spread from person to person. This virus appears to meet all three of those characteristics.
The influenza virus, says Steinberg, spreads from person to person via large droplets, the ones that fall quickly onto surfaces. The virus doesn't stay in the air for a long period of time, but a person can be infected directly by being close to an infected person who is coughing and sneezing. Droplets and respiratory secretions can contaminate hands and surfaces. That's why hand washing cuts the chance of infection.
Let's say somebody with the flu coughs into their hand or uses this phone, puts it up to the mouth, and I do the same. The droplets can only lives for a short period of time, but if you get those droplets on your hands and then transmit it to your mouth or nose, that's how you can get the flu.
Thus far, most infections caused by the novel strain of H1N1 have been relatively mild. Most of those infected have recovered without hospitalization or medical care. However, many of the persons who have died from infection with the novel strain of H1N1 have been young, similar to the 1918 flu pandemic.
There are a couple basic reasons why that could happen. People born before 1957, at least a portion of them, seem to have some immune response. Another explanation why the maybe young, healthy people preferentially get sick or die with the pandemic strain is a pneumonia. The inflammation can cause leakiness of fluids into the lung. And it may be that people who are young and healthy and have more robust immune systems are more likely to get that exuberant inflammatory response.
However, it's that strong inflammatory response that can lead to serious complications.
The pneumonia could be a result of a secondary bacterial pneumonia. In other words, flu virus weakens the immune system, it makes the airways raw, then the bacterial pathogens come in and take over.
According to the CDC, the novel H1N1 vaccine is expected to be available sometime in the fall. Its availability depends largely on the time it takes to manufacture the vaccine and conduct trials. Regarding the development of seasonal flu vaccine,
the vaccine manufacturing process takes 4 to 6 months. So the decision about what component virus strains go into the vaccines made around March. So that decision was already made before this H1N1 came out.
In the meantime, physicians and researchers at Emory have been preparing for novel H1N1's arrival.
A few years ago, a decision was made to fund a Center for Emergency Preparedness and Response. And having CPAR, Dr. Isakov, in charge gave us a leg up to help prepare for this pandemic. Because of concerns with the avian flu a couple years ago, Emory put together a task force for the avian influenza that developed a pandemic preparedness plan, an antiviral plan that addressed issues such as stockpiling and distribution of medications. And having those plans on board helped us get the gate running with the swine flu.
I'm Robin Tricolis, and this is Emory University's Sound Science.